A wonderful time of worship to lift up God, and He lifts us up. Well, the story is told of Captain Ray Baker, who flew the Strategic Air Command during the Vietnam War. The Air Force trained him along with other pilots to run out of their barracks to their planes at the sound of a buzzer. Many times during dinner, he had to drop his utensils and bolt to his bomber. You see, the Captain Baker had been trained to respond to the call with immediate obedience. In fact, he was so well trained that one day, while on follow, he ran out of a restaurant when he heard a buzzer. What a remarkable lifestyle of responding to the command of the Air Force. You're not getting my point. Long before the story of Captain Baker bolting to his bomber at the sound of a buzzer, the Bible also tells us another story of two sets of brothers who dropped everything they were doing to follow the command of their new master, the Lord Jesus. So this story brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from His Word to deliver to you today. And please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's precious and powerful truth in order to conform those among us who are true, genuine believers in Jesus Christ more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the builder and the bridegroom of the church, and also to convict unbelievers among us of their sin of unbelief in order to lead them graciously and gently to repentance and personal faith in Jesus Christ. So, here, in a nutshell, is the heart of our message. It is a simple message, and I want you to pay close attention to it. And that is, Jesus' call to follow Him demands immediate obedience. This is what we saw in Captain Ray Baker, immediately obeying the command of the Air Force commander. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to visually and vividly present to us that when the Lord Jesus called the first followers, his first followers, ordinary people like you and me, they had an immediacy in their response to his call. You see, as we are about to see for ourselves afresh, Jesus' call to these simple, ordinary folks like us was very abrupt. Yet without hesitating and without holding back, as was prayed earlier at the beginning of this service, they left everything to follow him. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into the English language. The Bible says in that chapter 1, the very chapter of the Gospel of Mark, if you don't have a Bible, Bibles are on the side. You can reach out for them. The Bible says, as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and went after him to follow, and went away to follow him. So this is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Actually, the gospel story we are reading today is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, as well as in Luke chapter 5, verse 2 to 11. The account of Matthew and Mark are similar. But Luke, if you read Luke chapter 5, verse 2 to 11, you find that he added more vivid details to the story. So now let's dig deeper into our gospel story in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. To discover the precious lessons the Holy Spirit is eager to impress upon our hearts, that is, the hearts of those who are willing to listen and the hearts of those who are willing for God to do a special work in their lives tonight in order to transform them more into the blessed image of Jesus. I like how this story begins, but you say, tell me why you like how this story begins. Well, please listen carefully. This story in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, begins in a common place where common folk were doing their common everyday work. Jesus shows up at a common place where ordinary people are carrying on their everyday ordinary work. Please, I want you to see that for yourself in verse 16. The Bible says, as he was going along the Sea of Galilee, as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the fish and into the sea, for they were fishermen. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now the Lord Jesus has begun to preach his message, as Mark chapter 1 verse 14 to 15 tells us. It tells us Jesus had begun to preach, and he said, "Repent, for the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now he must gather around him men whom he can teach, train, and transform so that they may become sharers in spreading that message." So Jesus finds the first of two sets of brothers not in a luxury, high-end, five-star, comfortable, climate-controlled hotel complex, but on a smelly, sweaty shore of the Sea of Galilee. Galilee means circle or circuit. Believe it or not, much of our Lord's ministry took place near the Sea of Galilee, a common place where common folks gather to do ordinary work of fishing. Now the Sea of Galilee, thank you, the Sea of Galilee was also, the Sea of Galilee has four names in the Bible. If you are a good Bible student, you find that the Sea of Galilee has four names in the Bible. One is the Sea of Galilee. It is also called the Lake of Gennesaret.
How many different languages?
Or just in... just in... in Hebrew and Greek.
Oh, yeah. In four different languages?
Yeah, four different names. It has four different names. But the two main languages are Hebrew and Greek. So the Lake of... It's also called the Lake of Gennesaret in Luke chapter 5 verse 1. The Sea of Tiberias in John chapter 6 verse 1 and 21 verse 1. In the Old Testament, it was known as the Sea of Kinnereth or Kinneroth, which means lute or harp, in Numbers chapter 34 verse 11. It is a beautiful, large, freshwater lake because it is fed by the waters of the upper Jordan. So the Jordan River is far in the north. It comes down and fills the Sea of Galilee. It is about 13 miles long and 7 miles wide, and about 700 feet below the Mediterranean Sea. That's another sea that has different names in the Bible. It is also called the Western Sea or the Great Sea. So this Lake of Galilee, being 700 feet below the sea, Mediterranean Sea, makes it the lowest body of fresh water on earth. By Jesus' time, a thriving fishing industry had developed around the Sea of Galilee. Josephus, who for a time was governor of Galilee, and who himself is the great Jewish first century historian, wrote about the Sea of Galilee. He said that in his day, 300 fishing boats sailed the waters of the Sea of Galilee. And guess what? One of these fishing boats belonged to Simon, which means God hears, and Andrew, which means manly. Pardon me? Be careful. We want to respect you, so respect us, okay? Yeah. Okay. So the point here is that Simon Peter and Andrew were fishermen. That is, they were ordinary people. They were simple folk. They were common people like you and me. I tell you, friends, no man ever believed in the ordinary man as Jesus did. Jesus does not look down on ordinary simple folk. Rather, he loves them. He leads them into his path of righteousness for his name's sake. He looks out for their best interests in life and lets them share in his kingdom work after teaching, training, and transforming their lives. This is exactly what we are going to see in this gospel story. It was as if Jesus said, give me 12 ordinary people or men, and with them, if they will give themselves fully to me, I will change the world. Please listen. You should never think so much of what you are as of what Jesus can make of you. He can take ordinary people and use them for extraordinary things. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, God must love the common people. You know why? He said, because he made so many of them. And I'm one of them. But I thank God for what Jesus is making of me. Now watch this. In this common place, where ordinary simple folk like Simon and Andrew were carrying on their common everyday work of fishing, something extraordinary happens. Something special is about to occur. Something life-changing happens. And what is that? The answer is the call of Jesus in verse 17. Please, everyone says, Jesus calls ordinary folk. Jesus calls ordinary folk. Say it with me. Jesus calls ordinary folk. And that includes me. That includes me.
Me too.
Yes, exactly. You see, Jesus calls Simon and Andrew in the midst of everyday life where they really live. I tell you, friends, the call of Jesus can come to a man or woman not only in the house of God, not only in the secret place, but in the middle of the day's work. Jesus can call you. Will you please see that afresh for yourself in verse 17? The Bible says, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Please understand this, that this is not the first time Jesus met Simon and Andrew. You see, Mark says nothing of a previous encounter between Jesus and Simon and Andrew. That first encounter was recorded for us in John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. I'm not going to read it. You can read it for yourself. There in John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42, that was the first time these two guys met Jesus or encountered Jesus. There they were called to salvation. But here in Mark, they are called to service and discipleship. Mark simply wants to show us the urgency of the situation. Here were two brothers, think of that, minding their own business. And then Jesus showed up in their lives, and without wasting any time, abruptly and authoritatively said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Please notice very carefully that the Lord Jesus didn't say to Simon and Andrew, well, will you two brothers take a week or a month to think about following me? Will you pray and fast for a week to see if it is a good idea for you two to come and follow me? Will you go home and ask your parents permission to see if they will release you to follow me? Rather, speaking authoritatively as the great I am, which we just sang, as the great shepherd, as the good shepherd, as the Lord of the universe, as the only begotten Son of God, who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, he says authoritatively, follow me. Literally, come after me. Now, please, I want you also to notice that the call to Simon and Andrew was very clear, not confusing. The call was very concise, not complex. The call was compelling, not quite casual. They didn't have to be rocket scientists to understand the call. I remember the day Jesus called me to himself. and to his service. I was lying in my bed. At the time, I was living in British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. I was feeling homesick and discouraged. When all of a sudden, I heard this voice. I didn't see anyone, but I heard this voice. Joseph, Joseph, your master is calling you. Now, I haven't experienced anything like that before, so you can imagine the fear that came upon my life. I mean, I was fearful. Just when the fears in my heart subsided, I heard a voice again. Joseph, Joseph, your master is calling you. Now, my point here is that even though I was fearful, I understood what the call was. Because the call was clear, it was concise, and it was compelling. And so, the same it was for Simon and Andrew. The call was clear, and if Jesus is calling you today, his call will be clear to you. It will be concise, and it will be compelling. But it is up to you to make a choice. Now, please notice first of all that Jesus calls them to follow him. He didn't say, come and follow a program. Come and follow a plan. He said, come and follow me, my person. Now, the question is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, the word translated, follow, employed in verse 18, actually the word follow, it was used in verse 17, but the Greek word is actually used in verse 18 for follow. It is frequently used in the Gospels to describe permanent attachment to the person of Jesus Christ. That is to be in continual fellowship with Jesus. It describes personal surrender to his summons and acceptance of his leadership in your life. Please listen, following Christ involves more than mere physical nearness. It includes the imitation of the character of Christ. So the Bible is saying that the responsibility of Simon and Andrew was to follow Christ, and that is to be attached to Jesus, the person of Jesus, to accept his leadership over their lives, to live in continual fellowship with him, to surrender their lives to Jesus, and to set their hearts on imitating the life, the character of Jesus Christ. May I ask those of you here today who say you are followers of Christ, is your life demonstrating that you are truly and fully and permanently attached to the person of Jesus Christ? Is your life a true picture of a person who reverently and resolutely accepts Jesus' leadership in your life? Is your life showing to others around you what it means to surrender every single area of your life to Jesus? Is your life a shining testimony of what it means to live in continual fellowship with Jesus Christ? Is your life revealing to the world around you? Here is what it means for a believer to set his or her heart on imitating the very character of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. If not, why not? Your talk will be cheap. Now you see, ours is to be a ministry of character, that is, the character of Jesus Christ. When I come here, I pray that the character of Christ will be manifested through me. Because what we are is more important than what we say. Now, please also notice as they follow Jesus faithfully and fully, Jesus promises to make them what? Fishers of men. It's like Jesus is saying to them, your responsibility is faithfully following me. My responsibility to you is to make you successful fishers of men. You see, Jesus is assuring them that he is calling them to the urgent task of rescuing men and women, boys and girls, from the impending judgment by sharing and spreading the good news of his life. He's saying, I am calling you to fish for people with the same energy that you used to fish for fish. The gospel will be like a net, lifting people from the dark waters into the light of day and transforming their lives. So my question to those of you who are believers here today, because I know there are some of you who are believers here today, my question is, how is Jesus using you to fish for people's souls?
Because you don't have to pay tax for it.
Are you investing yourself in your God-given task of sharing the good news of Jesus' love and forgiveness instead of trying to disrupt the service? Remember, Simon and Andrew, listen carefully, didn't give Jesus an excuse when he called them. And so, you and I cannot give any excuse to him. Well, in a common place, that is by the Sea of Galilee, the call of Jesus came to two brothers who were engaged in a common work of fishing. Now the question is, how did they respond to the call of Jesus? Well, the Bible reveals to us that their response was one of complete obedience. I want to leave this with you, and I want you to say it. Complete obedience. Yeah, the Bible now vividly captures their prompt, sacrificial, and complete obedience in following Jesus Christ and becoming his permanent disciples. The Bible says immediately they left their nets and followed him. Notice carefully that the brothers did not delay in obeying Jesus. They did not drag their feet. They did not dilly-dally. They did not debate the call. They simply obeyed the call. I tell you folks, when Jesus issues a call to follow him, he doesn't want us to delay or drag our feet. Notice the Bible says immediately they left their nets. Actually, that word immediately is one of Mark's favorite words. He used it 47 times in the Gospel of Mark to show how the Gospel of Mark is a fast-paced gospel of drama and high-energy action that emphasizes events rather than words. And so, in verses 19 to 20, we see that the same call is extended to James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Here's what I want you to take with you as we bring this message to a close. Please listen, by responding to the call of Jesus, these ordinary fishermen became what? Key figures in spreading the good news of Jesus into the world. Had they remained at their nets, we would never have heard of them in the Bible. I tell you, friends, responding to the call of Jesus makes all the difference in the world. God uses ordinary people who are yielded to him to do what? Extraordinary things for his glory. Now the question is, what does this message mean to us gathered in this ordinary chapel today? How does it apply to you? Why is it important for you to hear this story again? Well, here is why. Jesus is still calling men and women, boys and girls, ordinary, simple, common folk to forsake all and follow him. Neither possessions, poverty, problems we face, or our pleasures, our past, nor our parents must be allowed to hinder complete obedience to Jesus. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus is calling you today. But you ask, how is Jesus calling me today here in this common place? Here is why. Here is how he's calling you. Jesus is calling you today to come to him now and experience a fresh touch of his power upon your life. He's calling you to cast all your cares upon him now, whatever they may be. Your shame of failing him, your sorrows as we sang, your struggles with addiction, your sins. He's calling you to cast them all upon him. He's calling you to call upon him now to renew your desire to obey him fully and faithfully. He's calling you to confess to Him today that you desperately need His supernatural help to lift you up from your ash heap of fear, of failure, and your fleshly ways. And He's calling you also to commit yourself afresh to following Jesus with all your heart and with all your soul and living for Him and for His purpose alone. So please don't drag your feet in responding to Jesus' call. Come forward now and we will join to pray with you in whatever area Jesus is calling you as a believer today. But if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I say to you, Jesus is also calling you to salvation today. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. This call demands what? Immediate response on your side. How do you respond to this call? Well, you simply acknowledge that you are a sinner headed to hell. If you were to die today in your sins, you acknowledge Jesus today that you cannot save yourself by your good works or by your good behavior or by your own goodness. You admit today that Jesus is offering you His free and full offer of forgiveness on the basis of His work on the cross, where He died for your sins. On the basis that He was buried to put away your sins. And that He rose again on the third day to bring you into a relationship with Him. So the ball is now in your court. Today, you can choose to remain at your seat. And who knows what you will miss. Or you can choose to respond like Simon and Andrew and come forward to the respond to the call of God. If you are a believer, we want you here. But if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to personally talk to you here so that you can do business with Jesus, who is waiting for you with arms open to pour out His love and forgiveness upon you. So the ball is now in your court. Respond to the call of God upon your life today. Don't sit and miss out on God and His blessing for you tonight. Well, I'll be praying for you and for the food. So let me pray for the food, and those who want to come forward can come forward. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the food You have given to